Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
If you knew today that was going to be the last day of your life, and you knew that you were going to go back into light tomorrow, and calmly and fearlessly, how would you choose to live it? Interesting way to start the show, isn't it? This is something that I had to go through when I was in my psychology class way back when, is looking at how we live our life and whether the way we live it is really the way that we would like to, or are we busy doing things that we think we should. And what the question came up to me is, would you be worrying about getting all the things done on your task list? I know that's what drives my day. Or would you be trying to fit in some of the many pleasures in life that bring you the joy and the happiness and really make you appreciate that, you know, this ride that we are in this lifetime is really a wondrous experience? Would you find yourself reflecting back on your life with regret, regret for not following through on your dreams, regret for the way that you treated yourself and other people, even regret for how you lived your life? Or would you reflect back in your life with a sense of satisfaction for having lived a life of making a difference, a life that added to the quality of not only your life, but other people's lives, a life that made you feel good about gracing this earth with your presence and the beauty of your light? Would you be living it in the spirit that you would be like to be living the last day on earth? Again, this was a very powerful process for me to go through, is to really look at my daily activities and really at that time go in and really look at who was driving my life. Was it the demands and the urgency of life itself and other people's expectations? Or could I even find a few minutes within a day to be able to find something that I was really looking forward to doing? I couldn't be a more timely topic with the energy shift we have coming up August 9th, 2009, where we are literally being asked this very question. If you knew today was the last day of your life, how would you be living it? And what the energy shift is saying to us, would you be living your life through your task list of your mind, through all of your past history, through all the shoulds, coulds, woulds, or the goods, the bads, the right, the wrong, the nots? Or would you literally be finding some time during the day? You know, as I keep saying, not all the time, but time during the day to do what's important to you. Well, thanks for joining me today. It's going to be a very interesting show. I'm going to continue to talk about the energy shift that's coming up and the ways that you can really find the answers to that question. If you are you living today as if it's the last day of your life? I'm going to be sharing that. And then also I'm going to be talking about my near-death experience I had in 1981. I always chuckle when I have to say that, because I'm not sure how near death you had to be in order to qualify, but I guess I met all the criteria and voila, I was declared medically dead, and lo and behold, I came back. Not only changed my sight to where I can see the human energy system, meaning that I can see the aura around anything that has atoms and molecules in motion, but what I can also do is when I get to the place where I am feeling really stuck or overwhelmed, I can go back and I can remember what it was like to be in that time when literally it was timeless and when literally there was no fear. There was only this sense of peace and solitude. And the energy shift we have coming up is going to be offering us some of those experiences and some ways for us to be able to touch it, see how it feels, try it on. It's kind of like going shopping. We're going to go shopping. We're going to try things on, make sure that it feels right to you. And then what doesn't feel right, then you can start the process of just letting it go. Because see, what I find in what I'm looking at now with the energy shift, and then also what I learned then, is if you look at your day and you look at your experiences through the perception of your mind, everything is a problem. Everything has to be fixed. Everything is driven by other people's situations. You fall back on your past. Did this work? Did this not work? But when you look at that experience through the eyes of your soul, it doesn't have any of the angst attached to it. All it has is like, woo, opportunity. And that's really what this energy shift is all about as well. So that's what the topic of today's show is. I am going to be taking your calls. I'm always loving to do that, sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health or you have a question about today's topic, I'll be glad to answer both of those questions. In the U.S. and Canada, you can call me at 877-230-3062. And we have a second number that even our international callers are able to get through. That's area code 425-644-5620. I'm looking forward to talking to you. The question that I ask at the beginning of the show is really one that we really should almost ask ourselves every day when we first get up out of bed. When we go in and we look at all the chores, all the tasks, if we would ask ourselves before we even get out of bed, how do I want to live today? How you live that day is going to be very different. I did a class over the weekend about unlocking the creative genius of the soul. And people would say to me, Carol, how am I going to know if I'm living my life from my soul or from my mind? And I said, well, when you live it from your mind, you always tend to have strong negative emotions attached to it. When you live it from your soul, you have a lot of positive, calming emotions attached to it. And I was reminded of something that Edgar Cayce had said. And someone had asked him, how do I know when I've become enlightened? And Edgar Cayce said, before enlightenment, you would chop wood, build fire, carry water. After enlightenment, you would chop wood, build fire, carry water. The only difference is once you're enlightened, you enjoyed it. And that's really what we're talking about right now is we're talking about, you know, would you allow this anger and this hatred and this rage and all these emotions that are coming to the surface? It's like there's this great big, you know, tipping point that's happening in the universe itself and in our consciousness that's saying, do you want to continue to live this way? And when you have anger, hate, rage, or any of the strong emotions you're having, it drains you of energy and it distracts you from the joys of life. And then all it looks like is just one darn thing after another. So these strong emotional reactions, the way the soul uses emotions is it brings these strong emotional reactions forward. So you can really monitor through your emotions, kind of like an internal barometer, when you are literally working from your mind and your have to do list, or whether you're working from your soul, like would like to do list. So again, these questions, how you'd answer that question at the beginning of the show, also can tell you a lot about where you're focusing your energy in life. And they can also, how you're using your time, the type of relationships you're in. So it's really, again, an internal barometer that says, is this where you want to be? Is this how you want to live your life? They can tell us where you're placing value on in your life. Most importantly, they can tell us if we're doing things that help us become a person we finally want to be before we actually get in and go and start the process of our day. What do we want today to look like? Do we want it to be just one darn problem after the other? Well, sure, that's the way that it looks like. Or what we can look at is every opportunity, every problem presents us an opportunity. Now, I know we've heard that before. It's almost a trite comment to use it, but it is so true. I don't know if you've ever heard of Loretta LaRoche. She's a Hay House author, as well as myself, and she's a friend of mine. Joan Borisenko calls her the Jolly Llama. She teaches all about humor. And when I first met Loretta, one of the things that she had said is she said, Carol, remember, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a present. And I think that's really what we are asked to look at every day we get up. Is today going to be a present? How can we make it a present? How can we wrap it? What can we do? And so forth. So anyway, it's just a good way for us to be able to kind of start this day. Thank you for joining me to start the day with me today and just looking at how do you want today to go? Now, does this mean that problems are going to go away? Absolutely not. But I'm hoping. And again, something I was asked in the class, and I am hoping both as a human and Carol and teacher and all the things that I roles that I play, like all of you have so many different roles. I'm hoping that if I continue to seek to see my days through the eyes of my soul, then what I'll do is I'll find that at the end of the day, I'm going to have some energy. I'm not going to be driven by all the deadlines, and I'm going to be able to crawl into bed at night and look back and go, you know what? This was a good day. Now, a lot of things could have happened, but I want to go to bed and say, you know, today was a good day. I made a difference in my life, and I made a difference in other people's lives, because that's the way I measure myself. And whether that other people's lives could be my little dog, Bojé, or it could be another person, or it could just be being out in nature and gracing nature with my presence. You know, we always think of nature gracing us with her presence, but you know what? We grace ourselves to her as well. So again, food for thought. And we're going to continue to work through this, but I want to jump right in, and I'm going to take line 4, Jim from California. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for calling me. How can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I need a general read on my body and my health.
Okay. I would like to ask you, point me in a direction that you have the greatest concern. And let me tell you why I asked that, Jim. When I touched you, I could start at the top of your head, sweetie, and I can go down to the bottom of the feet. And we have a lot of areas that aren't connected, meaning that chemically they're not talking to each other. And if you start me somewhere, then I'm more effective to connect the dots for you. So where do you want me to start?
Where in your body?
Where physically in your body?
Abdominal.
Okay, very good. Let's go in and with the abdominal aspect of it. There are actually 3 components to what's happening in the abdominal area itself. Have you been to a doctor?
No, not for any particular reason.
Okay. The reason I ask is because I'm going to share some information. The first thing that I pick up in the dynamics of the digestive system, the abdominal area, is I've got a gallbladder that's not working functionally optimally. What that means is we've got a small gallstone in there, but it seems like certain things that you eat or certain things that you have too much fat seems to set off this kind of chain reaction. So I have the gallbladder, I have the stomach, and then I have the colon. And the reason I'd ask is whether you talk to a doctor. A lot of the abdominal things that I find in the upper GI system has a lot of the symptomology of irritable bowel syndrome. And what that is it's like you eat something and I can feel some spasming in the stomach. The whole digestive system becomes irritated. When I drop down into the lower digestive system, I would encourage you to look at the foods that you're eating. Have you ever been tested for food allergies?
No.
Okay. There are some actual food allergies that you are experiencing right now. They're new. There's something that weren't there. So you heard me hesitate. I'll tell you why in a moment. When I do that, Jim, it doesn't mean things wrong, but it's connecting dots for me. It's like your body just comes in front of me. The food allergies that I'm picking up that you've developed is you've developed a sensitivity to nightshades. Do you feel like your ears are plugged to your sinus or anything? Can you feel like you're kind of underwater every so often as far as trying to hear?
Well, sometimes.
Okay. And that has a lot to do with candida. It has to do with that dynamics of the yeast, fungus, bacteria. And when your upper digestive gets out of balance, meaning you get too acidic, and then you get too acidic in your lower digestion, candida becomes present. It goes systemic, and I can pick it up in your mouth. I can pick it up in your sinus. I can pick it up in your ears. That's why I'd ask the question. In the abdominal area, let's see. So I've touched on things, but this is a bigger concern, isn't it, sweetie?
Yes.
There's something going on that you're really concerned about, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. I need you to ask me that question. I cannot give you the answer until you ask me the question.
Today at this moment, right now, I am in a financial crisis. I am going to have some bills that are going to come due in the next week or 2 weeks, and at this point I am unable I have no idea how I'm going to pay him.
Okay. Okay, so that's see, all of the things that I picked up with the digestive part, that's what I call your weak site in your body, Jim. Anytime you get to the place where the stress gets more than you can psychologically handle, you're going to get it in that upper stomach part, and then it's going to feel like your gut's just going to turn on you. Then it's going to go down into the lower part. That lower part of the mid-abdomen is where we carry worry, and it's specifically, first and foremost, many different worries, but first and foremost, it carries the fear of unknown, and it also carries the financial worry that can create this acidity, this imbalance in the gut that I talk about, that could also be a precursor of candida. It can also be part of the lower back tension that you have, and honey, your hips aren't quite moving the way they need to. Also, you feel frozen in place to me. Easy to say afterwards. So here's what we can do is looking at the bills themselves, and I'm just going to kind of step out of my medical intuition for a moment, go back into my psychology background with it. Looking at the bills themselves, go through and prioritize the bills. Look at which bill is the most important for you to have to pay in order to be able to continue to provide the best you can. Because a lot of this is I can go to the shoulders and carrying all the responsibility, feeling like you are on your shoulders. So prioritize the bills. Then look at how much money you do have. And then take that money and allocate it based on how you prioritized it. Then the next thing is be proactive and call the places and say, I am not going to be able to do this. What can we do to solve the problem? Many of us come in, and again, I go back and kind of touch your personality. There's so much sense of failure that's tied to where you are. And no matter how hard you're trying, you can't seem to get yourself out of this loop. And the best way for you to work with it is to become proactive and creative on how you're going to be able to manage whatever you have, but be proactive enough to call them and let them know this isn't going to happen, that you are going to be late. What can we do? And then ask them if you could even send a little bit. And if you can't, just tell them straightforward, you know, I am not going to be able to pay this bill. And then what they'll do is then they'll make note of it in your records, but then they won't come after you and hound you. That will be very detrimental to you to have people starting to call you, or even feels like continuing calling you about the bills themselves. The other thing is when I ask you to go in and prioritize what is most important to you, this is going to help you recognize what really can motivate you to be able to continue on, meaning working to pay the bills. And that's the best way that I can tell you from a psychologist standpoint. From a medical intuitive standpoint, is everything feels hard. Your gut is hard. The lower gut is hard. The back is hard. The muscles are hard. You're fixed. You're frozen in place and so forth. So try that. If you cannot pay any of your bills, then again, I would make the phone call and just say, I am not going to be able to pay any bills. I would give the reasons why you are not going to be able to, ask them to put that in the file. And so that way, they don't have any surprises. You don't have any surprises. This isn't about failure. I know it's easy for me on a mic across the internet to say that to you. My sense is when I touch you, hon, you have been swimming like heck to be able to make all this happen. And it's just kind of that proverbial fork in the road of coming in, and it's just not going to be able to. So if you can prioritize what's important to you and where you put your energies, then you can focus on that, and the law of attraction can help you. The stomach part of it, you could take some Xanax, you could take some Pepcid. Those things would help you. I would watch taking a lot of antacids, or if your stomach feels sour, you can do it through diet or whatever. But with the predisposition I'm picking up around the potential stone, and I'm going to have to say it that way. It's very, very small. It is not anything to be concerned about, but I can actually see it in the gallbladder. We don't want to do anything to aggravate or to create more stones. That's the metaphors of medical intuitive around things being hard, things being many things, those form into stones. Is that something that you can do, Jim?
Yes.
Okay.
It certainly is.
And you know what? It'll just give you some mental reprieve from your monkey mind. You know, I really do. When I touch you, you and I are very similar personality-wise. Our nature neurologically is when we have a problem and we can't solve it, we tend to fixate on it. We tend to play scenario after scenario. We tend to have conversation after conversation. And we get into something that the Buddha called the monkey mind, the sin mind. And what that is that we can't even get out of our way. We don't really know what's real. So it's like we have to just back off. What is the most important thing? And so I think that that may be able to help you. Once you do that, my sense is then you're not going to be as much adrenaline. You won't have as much acidity in your body. And even this stomach thing, this irritable bowel. And what that feels like to me is every so often it feels like you just kind of, it's like something punches you in the gut and it just kind of everything clenches up. And that's, I don't think it's irritable bowel, but it does have some of the symptomology of it. And I would, I think this is a good first step to see where you go from here.
Thank you very much. That every word that you said is it makes sense to me.
Well, thank you. That is the best compliment that your personality could give me. Light and love to you, and I wish you very well. And I'll hold the energy for you like I am everybody else, but I'll hold the energy and been there, done that myself, Jim. You have a wonderful day. Thanks for calling me.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Hi, let's take Susan, line one. Hi, Susan. How are you, honey?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good.
My,
my pleasure.
Several years ago, I found that I had a lump in my breast, and but the doctor said it was just a muscle mass. So it's kind of just been there, no problem. But I lost a little bit of weight, not due to any illness. And I'm sure that that's the reason it seems to be a little bit more pronounced to me. Now, but I'm wondering if it's possible for you to tell me if there's been a change in that or if perhaps there's something else going on in my body that is having an effect on it, you know, like diet or...
Yeah, actually what it feels like to me is it feels like, to me, touching it energetically, it feels like a... ganglion cyst is what it feels like. Ganglion meaning that it has a lot of fibrousness to it. And what that means is that it can feel like it's hard. And the muscle mass itself can be kind of sheathing it and protecting it. Now, when the doctor said it's muscle mass, not to negate what the doctor said, but my sense is that it all along was a fibrous cyst itself. And that it just, because of the way it felt, that was just what it is. It still is that. The fact that you've lost the weight with it, now it's becoming pronounced, meaning you'll be able to find it as you're losing weight and you lose some of the muscle mass, then you'll be able to be more in touch with it. The thing I can say to you is I can, and I have to say it this way, is if it is a concern to you and you need to put your mind at ease, then I would encourage you to go get a mammogram. And from that, they may say to you that you need to have an ultrasound. Again, they will want to look at it. They may say that you'll need to have a needle biopsy just to be sure that it is exactly what we're talking about. That part of it is what I have to say to your mind. From what I touch with you, as far as what it is, it's the same thing it always was. It isn't anything that has changed. What has changed is because of your age and the hormone changes that you're going through and the dynamics around it is that you feel like your estrogen is depleting, your progesterone is increasing. The progesterone can create soreness or sensitivity in the breast area. If we do have a cyst, whether it's gelatinous, meaning fluid-filled, or fibrous, in that area, then what will happen with the increase of progesterone, we have the sensitivity in that area because it's something that the body identifies isn't normal, meaning that it's just not part of our anatomical design. And so what will happen is that you may have more sensation around it, more feeling around it. But again, my sense is it's the same thing it has always been. The only difference is the hormones have brought attention to it. But if your mind does not let go of it, then I would certainly seek whatever testing you need in order to put your mind at ease.
Okay. Yeah, no, and I, you know, I felt sure that it was nothing, but I just thought that,
yeah.
Opportunity for me to check it out.
Absolutely, and I thank you for doing that. And you know what? If you go back on your mother's side, mm-hmm. there is breast cyst predisposition. And it even feels like if I went back on your mother's side that there would be a predisposition, maybe, I don't think it was grandmother, maybe great-grandmother, that there was some breast cancer. So somewhere in your intuition, something created this desire to ask the question to be able to get your mind to stop fixating on it. Now, your mind may not know that if your great-grandmother really did have, fibrous breast or breast cancer or anything, but something is there enough that's calling attention to it. And that's exactly why sometimes we just need to give the mind what it needs. It's like, okay, you're done. This is what it is. Let's get on and move over it.
Okay, so now my mom's passed away, so this is good information for me. I know that she didn't have, you know, she didn't have breast cancer, but you're saying that, see, and her mother died relatively young. So,
yes.
You're saying somewhere on my mother's side, though, there is some kind of a history of either fibrous tumors or breast cancer?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, well, that's a good thing to know because I have a sister that I would need to pass that on to as well.
Absolutely. And again, you know, the whole thing is, it's not about creating fear. Unfortunately, when we don't have, you know, we don't get to do all the history, medical history with our parents or anything, or we're adopted, we don't know that. But the thing is the best thing that I can, and sharing that with you is any time you or your sister has any concern around the breast, whether it's tenderness or whatever, it needs to just be looked at because otherwise your mind's going to know something's there. It's going to know something's going on and it's not going to let go of it.
Okay,
it's not going to let go
of it. At this point, there's no indication that I'm prone to breast cancer.
There is not. There is no indication that you are prone and there is no indication that your sister is prone.
Okay.
But both of you feel like you are prone to cyst in the breast. Okay. And a part of it has to do with the density of the breast tissue itself.
Okay.
And okay, well, so it's just something that then as you get into the point where you start experiencing hormonal changes and you have the estrogen progesterone dynamics and the change that's going to occur, a lot of times as females, our breasts become very sensitive and very sore. It's a concern to us. And then it goes away and we think, okay, well, it's fine. And it usually is. But sometimes if we have this predisposition or we have a history of it, it's just good to go in. Do you get your mammograms every year?
No.
I would, hon. You know, again, not to create concern. I'm really not. I'm not holding anything back with you, Susan. I need to talk to your mind. I know, sweetie, in the heart of who you are, you're hearing every word. But in your mind, I'm not creating any kind of anxiety around this. It's just that what I picked up that the family history is that if you get the testing done on a regular basis, then it will not allow the mind to be able to fixate on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it is. And the same with your sister. How old is your sister, sweetie?
She is 52.
Yep. And so, see, she's going into kind of the real throes of all this hormone change.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be things that are going to happen in her body and change. And if anything does, you know, get some answers. She should be doing her mammograms every year also.
Yeah,
and in
does.
Fact, I need to say this to all females. I know a lot of people don't like the radiation that's attached to it, but it is, they've come so far in what they're being able to find and detect. And, you know, breast cancers come so far that when we get early detection. So I guess here's the gift of you, sweetie. I guess we just needed to nag all women that, you know, it's a good idea to start as early as 40 years old, just getting a mammogram. 40-year-olds don't need it every year, but especially as females when we're going through the change, we really do.
Okay.
But nothing there that I'm concerned about. Same thing it was when the doctor told you it was a muscle mass.
Okay.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you very
much.
My
pleasure. Oh, my pleasure. You have a wonderful day. Okay, I'm going to be right back to talk more about how to live your life today as if it was the last day of your life and share some ideas and some things that I actually learned when I went through the transition time between light and coming back into my body. How's that to end? Okay, we'll be right back. Thanks very much.
would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, welcome back, and thanks for joining me today. The topic of today's show is living life today like there is no tomorrow. I am taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about the topic of the show or you want to ask me about your health in the U.S. and Canada, you can call 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. Before I begin again in the show, I'd like to invite you to join me in two exciting events. The first one is this coming Thursday, July 23rd at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I'm having a Your Health teleclass. The topic for this month's show is on thyroid disorders, and I'm going to be sharing how, as a medical intuitive, I see a thyroid disorder in the aura. I'm going to be mapping it in the chakra system so you can see how it actually maps in the physical body. And then I'm going to be talking about how not only the psychological aspects, meaning the hidden meanings behind the predisposition for thyroid disorders, but also the personality colors that have the highest to the lowest predisposition for the thyroid colors. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. Again, that's this Thursday, July 23rd at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Now, the second event is sponsored by Hay House Radio. It's an online event, and the topic is reinventing yourself in changing times. And I'm going to be sharing the important role that your personality plays in what you're good at and how to harness that personality to create the health, the wealth, and the happiness that you really are desiring. Again, all personality based. My personality book, What Colors Your Personality, just got re-released in soft cover. It's a beautiful little four-color book. It gives you the tools to discover who you are and then information how to use that to create yourself or recreate yourself in the authenticity of who you are instead of who everybody else thinks you should be. The event for the Hay House Online is July 28th. It's at 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and then also 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and that's Eastern Time. I've created a workbook for you to be able to follow along. You can register for this event on Hay House Radio. Radio.com. Click on the events line, and then you'll be able to register. So again, I hope that you'll join me for either of these events, and better yet, both of them, and then we'll be able to really go in and talk about thyroid and talk about personality. Well, I mentioned in the first half of the show that I actually had a near-death experience. It was in 1981. I had mentioned that the fact that I chuckle every time I say that I had near death. I actually was declared medically dead, so I guess I qualify. But I had an opportunity to learn a lot about myself, and I had a lot opportunity to learn a lot about life itself, and really from this perspective of our soul, because that's really where I was connected to, even though I was in this transitional time, is to be able to look at every day, every experience, every problem, every joy, all the positive things that we have in a way that we can go in and change our perception. I have now found, after all these years of my sight, because my sight was changed to where I could see the human energy system or the energy system, anything again with atoms and molecules in motion, I'm able to see this aura. It's an electromagnetic field. My docs that I work with, whether they're local or they're global, all refer to me as the human X-ray machine, because I get a chance to go in and see what's really happening. But when this first happened, it wasn't a gift, and it's been over the course of time that I realized that it is. But what it did is it really changed me and how I see life. What did I learn? Oh, boy. I thought when I came back from the near-death experience, I would have this whole laundry list of all these things that I had learned. But I forget that all the things that we know inside that inner wisdom, whether we learn them before we come into form or we learn them from a near-death, it takes an experience in order to trigger them. I learned that life is like a candy store, and all that we want is provided for if we ask. And I when I think back on that, I think my thought at the time was, oh my gosh, what if I don't ask the right thing? And from the standpoint of the universe, from the standpoint of your soul, there's never a wrong question. The only question that is wrong is the one that isn't asked. So what you do is you just ask for the guidance. You ask for what you're looking for. This life is a candy store. We can have anything that we desire. That is really true. The only thing that prevents us is the limiting thoughts that we have, that we're either not good enough or we're not worthy, or that, you know, people don't like us or whatever it may be. Those are the things that hold us back. I learned that scarcity doesn't exist in the world of light. It only exists in our human mind, and that we have within us all the riches we need to get what we desire from life. And I learned that even though we deplete those riches every time we experience hopelessness or helplessness or negativity or pessimism, those riches are quickly replenished every time we express gratitude, every time we laugh, and every time we love and we accept who we are. I learned that it's okay to color out outside the lines, and that marching to our drummer is necessary if we're to fulfill our dreams. This is something when I go back as a little child, how often when we were taught to color, people would say, look at, you're coloring outside the lines. And so we learn to be accommodating. We learn to stay within them. Now where we are is it's being said to us, you know, color outside the lines. You might learn something else. I also learned that somewhere in evolution of who we are as humans, we've gotten our wires crossed, because we place more value on struggle and hardships and the pain of life and suffering than we do on joy, happiness, and the pleasures of life. I was mumbling and grumbling the other day as I got up, you know, sitting at the computer for so many hours, working on a book, my body hurt. Is everybody feeling sorry for me? Going in and doing all these things, and I got up and I was just grumbling like crazy. Went through my morning task, grumbling like crazy. I had to go outside and put some things in the trash can outside. And all of a sudden I went outside and the smell was glorious. It was that fresh early morning smell. And I looked up in the sky and the clouds and the color from the sunrise. And I went in and my soul said, can you smell it? And I said, what? It said, your tomatoes. And I said, you can't smell tomatoes unless you pick them. And I haven't walked over there. Grumble, grumble, grumble. And the soul said, you're not paying attention. And I took a deep breath and I couldn't believe it. I could actually smell my tomato plants that were there, and they have all these beautiful red tomatoes attached to them and everything. So what we do is, if we focus on those things, the soul always creates gratitude around the subtle things. It doesn't have to be the big blatant things, but always the subtle things. I learned that the pathway to personal liberation begins by changing the perception you have of yourself and of your life, and that breaking the rules is mandatory, because it's the only way you're going to trigger change and the only way you're going to tap into your creativity. I also learned that if the quality of our life isn't what we want it to be, then what we need to do is just merely change our thoughts. Life isn't supposed to be complicated. It isn't supposed to be complex. It's supposed to be simple. We just need to shift our perception. If the meaning of life is to create opportunities to become more of who we are and better at who we are, then we have to dare to be different than our conditioning tells us we should be. The final thing that I learned, if we want to live today like there's no tomorrow, then we must learn to be present in the moment, for that's the only time we can really touch our soul, really be present with everything that's going around us, so we can touch the subtle. And it's in the touching of the subtle that we're able to find the gratitude and the joy and the pleasures of life. We've heard a lot about present moment living. When you're grumbling around like I was the other morning and everything, stop, take a deep breath, go outside if you need to, have a change of scenery, take a deep breath or stay where you are, but look at things differently. Look at things through the eyes of the soul. And if you ask that, you will be amazed at the answer. The answer won't be a long dissertation. It won't take 3 days to be able to convince your mind that this is the answer. All your soul will give you is a simple word or maybe three. If your life is not what you desire, merely change your perception and your thought around it. Okay, let's go in. Hi, Ellen, line two.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, hon.
That was so beautiful. I forgot what I wanted to say. I'm just thinking about what you said.
Well, thank you. I said that for you, sweetie, and for everybody, but you know, it was really all about me again. You know, isn't that the way this is?
Well, yes, for us all.
It is.
I need help with my current situation. I just want to give you a little background.
Okay.
About 6 years ago, I had a situation where it looked like I was going to run out of money, and I had two kids I was still raising and an ex-husband who wasn't paying support, and I went into panic and fear and totally bought into the fear of it and sold my house and bought a smaller house and did all this stuff and ran myself ragged and got shingles. And when it was all done with, I looked back at it and I thought, God, why, you know, this all worked out. Why did I get so upset? And why, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to just buy into the fear again. I'm going to remember that we're always okay and not, you know. So here I am 6 years later. My kids are pretty much raised. They're both out of college. But I really did run out of money. And I have, my funds ran out about a year ago. And I thought, well, isn't this interesting that I have an opportunity now not to go into fear and panic. And so I've really tried to just roll with this experience, even though it's taking me someplace I didn't really want to go. I mean, what's happening is I'm going to have to move back to the state I grew up in and stay with my sister until I can get myself regrouped. Mm-hmm. And I'm like in shock that that's happening. But even so, I've been very proud of myself that I haven't, you know, I sleep at night. And I really managed it all really pretty well. But darn if I don't have shingles again. And I'm like,
Yeah. Well, let's go in and let's kind of divide this situation. The shingles, actually, Ellen, are part of a herpes zoster. My sense is that there probably is an Epstein-Barr virus in you that when you get under a lot of stress and you get too acidic, it rears its head. Yeah. It actually creates this experience where your body becomes too acidic. And what the shingles are trying to do is it's trying to get all this toxin, all this acidity out to the surface. Now, the way that it uses it isn't necessarily the way that we desire. But what the soul is saying is we've got this poison inside of us. We've got this fear inside of us. And you've done a glorious job to be able to manage it. Just think about the 6 years, honey. Think about how far you've come from where you were to where you are right now. This isn't about failure, and I'm going to give you a different perception because your soul's standing up here giving me cue cards like I'm a, you know, David Letterman on the evening show. Say this, Carol. So, but what it's doing is that it's created the perfect storm for this acidity to come up, the Epstein-Barr, and the herpes to come back. And what the nerves, the attachment of shingles to the nerves as a medical intuitive is telling me, you're just plain irritated with yourself. You're irritated that you just got back to where you were, but you really aren't back to where you were. And let me tell you the difference in that and why I see it that way. Do you know what? You're going to find that when you move back home and you move back with your sister, you're going to find a real treasure in this, sweetie. And I'm not trying to build false hope, but you know what? Your sister needs you as much as you need your sister. There's a lot of healing in the relationship that's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of reprieve mentally from you. You're going to have the chance to step back and evaluate your life because you've done so many things that you've had to do. You have an opportunity in your life now to do what you desire to do. The standpoint from the managing stress is that in this situation, you're not going to have to worry about your survival. And the other part of it is you're not going to have to worry about the unknown. Now, you could let your mind take you off and the unknown is, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this, you know, 6 months from now and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But the bottom line of it is only present moment. What can you do right now? You can do something to take a step to get you where you desire to go. The other part of it is it feels like home is really important to you. Going back to your home, not revisiting your childhood from any dysfunction, but just being home and seeing how far you've come over all these years, what you've accomplished, what you've done, things that, honest to goodness, Ellen, when I touch you, people have got to be scratching their heads wondering, how the heck did you pull this off? And how did you keep it together with all the drain of energy and all the stuff? Look at your kids. Oh, my gosh. You should be very proud of your kids.
You kept
them stable. You kept them where they needed to be. You gave them the love. You shared the compassion. You did all the things. You're going to do that with your sister. And again, there's going to be many, many blessings in this. It's almost like your soul, it just put up a sign in front of me and said to tell me, Ellen, it's time to get the heck out of Dodge, honey. And then it holds up another one and it says, you've always wanted to help your family. This is your chance. You've always wanted to heal some things with your sister. This is your chance. You've always wanted to have a bud with your sister. This is your chance. You've always wanted to get out of the place of the fear to be able to feel what it's like to really not have to be always in that fear of scarcity.
Yeah.
This is your chance. You have a chance by going home to recognize this fear of scarcity that you have. Honey, yes, you've lived it. You've lived it exquisitely. You've pulled yourself through with it. But you know what? This fear of scarcity isn't even you, Ellen. When I touch your soul is in there going, you know, I could live on a can of beans and be a happy camper as long as I'm doing what I like.
Yep. That's
somewhere,
true.
Go ahead, babe.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's like the two opposing views are both very at home in me. One is, give me nothing and I'm okay. And the other is, I love beauty and I love, I love to live well.
Absolutely.
I can do both.
You can, but you can't do both where you are.
Yeah.
And that's what the soul's saying. This, your mind is saying you can't do both where you are. Your soul is saying, then let's go somewhere else. Now, that old part, people will say, well, Carol, she's going to take herself with her. Yes, she is. But I always say she's going to take her real self with her and she's going to have an opportunity to look back and she can fall back into old patterns. We all can, but I'll tell you, it'll be really uncomfortable.
You know,
one of the things that go in, if I may, one of the things with this is find out who that scarcity conditioning is really, who gifted you with that, hon. It isn't their
dad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's because your dad was very similar to you and your dad took on a tremendous sense of responsibility. Good man, wanted the responsibility, but man, it ate his lunch every single day.
Yeah.
He measured himself to his dad, and his dad was a different personality, and it goes on and on and on and on. Okay, so I interrupted you now. Go ahead.
I think what surprised me going home was that growing up there, I couldn't wait to leave.
Exactly.
And my family, you know, I don't really enjoy them. I mean, except the one sister that I'm going to stay with. She and I have a real spiritual bond. The rest of my family, who will all be there, basically, all of them. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a challenge.
Well, it will. And the soul says, woohoo, rub the hands. I love a challenge. You may fall back into old patterns, but it'll be uncomfortable enough that you won't stay there. It may mean that you'll have an opportunity to get some resolve around some of the relationship issues with the rest of your family. More importantly, you may see them differently. Have you done my personality assessment yet, Ellen?
I did it online. I can't remember now. I think I was green or orange. I can't remember.
You're a green, darling.
Green, yeah.
You're a green. So you know what? I've told you that, but you might want to, just not because I'm trying to sell books, but you might want to go in and you might want to go back and take the long version in one of my books because it'll really give you a complete look at who you are. You've always marched to a different drummer, especially since your mother with your mother and dad.
Yeah.
And what'll happen is that you've got a lot of years away under your belt being who you are. Hold on tight to that.
Know I will. That you, I will not let go of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, you paid a lot of money to get to where you are right now and invested a lot of time. And it may, my sense is that there's a different energy. And again, not trying to create false hope. There feels like there's a different energy. There's some struggles, some real deep struggles that are going on back at home with your family. There's a lot of tension. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that. I'm not trying to get your mind in there going, well, great, Carol. I'm so glad I called you.
No, I'm aware. Yeah.
But the bottom line of it is that if you can hold steadfast in your greenness, who you are, and find the courage to not engage verbally in their antics, but to speak your truth through your heart. Honey, you're going to heal this situation.
Interesting.
You are going to heal this situation. Is it going to be comfortable? Probably not. But the soul doesn't discern comfortable or uncomfortable. It's just an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have that opportunity.
Interesting.
And
well,
so,
it's been important for me, or I don't think it would be happening.
Absolutely. That is absolutely truth. But in our humanness, all we see it is from the standpoint we can't pay the bills or we can't do anything and we're a failure. And from the soul's perspective, and I can say another thing, your soul just held up another card. It said to me, tell her she just closed the last chapter and she's got to write the new one. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, well, I think what confused me was I was trying to, I mean, I was creating in my mind and in my intentions of life where I, you know, I would be a successful writer here, you know, and I would live beautifully here, and I would do all that here. I never imagined quite this little detour that it kind of feels like a detour.
But you know, but let me ask you a quick question. How creative can you be? I sure as heck can't when I'm worrying about scarcity. I can't write fluidly. Can you?
I kind of surprised myself, but I think I was doing it. I was working because I was just trying to save myself. You know, I was hoping, oh, if I get this done, you know, maybe I can sell this. And that's not really the kind of creativity you're talking about.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And you know, the gift of the going home is you're just not going to have to worry about all of it. And then you can write what's real. Then you can write from your heart. And you have. Don't get me wrong. I can touch the work that you do. And when you do, I mean, the words just flow on the page. And other times it's like the brain's going, give me a word, give me a word. I need a word right now.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference. But you know, I do, if you could be open to it, and see it as a healing experience, not knowing what that healing is going to look like, but being open to that. And from the opportunity and the bonding with your sister, there's a different bonding with your sister that needs to happen. If you can see it that way, then my sense is you're going to look back in this and you're going to go, you know what? This is one of the best things I've ever done in my life, even though we had to be pushed and shoved and screaming and clawing and dragging and I don't want to go. Well, thank you so much. And hon, the shingles are actually getting better. If you were to go in and start doing things to alkalize your body, you could do it with wheatgrass. You could do it with barley green. You could do it with spirulina. If you would start alkalizing your body and really focusing on alkalizing, your shingles are on the mend. But what it'll do is it'll alkalize it and it'll actually expedite the healing process.
Wonderful. I love you, Carol. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I love you too. And enjoy going home. All right. You're welcome. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's just been a pleasure to share all this information with you. As always, I always think that I'm doing it for you and I'm reading these things and I'm thinking, oh, Carol, come on. This is all about you. This is all about the things you need to remember as your to-do list is becoming larger and larger and the franticness is coming in and the deadlines and everything else. It's like, just be present in the moment. And I want to thank every single one of you for putting me present in the moment and sharing your light and love with me. Have a great day today. Live it as if it's the last day of your life and make it the very best day of your life. I'm going to be back next Wednesday. I'll see you on the radio. Light and love to you. Great day.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.